welcome to the Las Vegas Weekly Radio Mag Show. Tonight, we're bringing you a special episode where we're devoting entirely to Don't Ask, Don't Tell. That's the discriminatory policy which prohibited gays and lesbians from openly serving in the military. Today, we have with us Dave Jenkins and Pat Spearman, who were both in the military for several years under the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. And we have James Combs, who is a major in the Air Force, who is currently serving at Nellis Air Force Base. Just so our radio listeners know, we taped this episode on September 20th, which is the first day of Don't Ask, Don't Tell's repeal. And I want to ask you, James, how your day was.
It was a great day for me personally, just knowing that the law that is known as Don't Ask, Don't Tell is no longer in place. At work, it was actually a very normal day, non-eventful. In fact, I can't think of even one exciting thing to tell you about how things went today other than just for me personally.
Well, that's good. And what is the most important part personally to you? What are you looking forward to the most? What does this mean to you?
What I'm looking forward to the most is just being able to be done with the charade, be done with the pretending, and be able to live a life where I can be truly honest and open without fear of getting fired from my job.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people might not realize that what that entails is just being able to say, oh, I saw a movie this weekend with my boyfriend, or,
yes,
you know, simple talk, right?
It's so simple. It's just talking about your plans for the weekend or what you did over the last couple of days. And up until today, I really couldn't be open and honest about that.
Mm-hmm. And you were telling me earlier that you're going to have a company picnic coming up, and this is going to be the first time in years that your boyfriend will be able to go with you and that you won't have to hide him.
That's right. Yes. We've been waiting for this day for a long time. So now under not a new law, but now under the current system, there are no bars to service for bringing someone to a company picnic with you. So you can no longer be fired for that. And so it's a good day to celebrate.
That's awesome. And let's talk a little bit about the charade that you mentioned, the pretending. And I'd like our other guests, Pat and Dave, to also weigh in on this in terms of how far did you guys have to go to hide this? What does this entail? Maybe you can start, James.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've always tried not to be purposely deceitful because I want to have integrity and honor in everything that I do. So for me, the way that I've dealt with it is just not to talk about it. And that's pretty much in line with the policy anyway. The policy as it was written literally could be interpreted as no one can ask you. And as long as you don't tell, then you're in compliance. So for me, I just didn't talk about it. And when the topic would come up, I would just kindly excuse myself or just not really get too involved with that.
And what was your experience like, Pat? You were in the military for almost 30 years. That's a long time to pretend.
I was in prior to Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and then I served the last half of my career under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and I want to say that it's exactly true what James is saying. You know, it's funny that the UCMJ requires people to serve with integrity, yet for those of us who happen to be gay, lesbian, or bisexual, we can serve with honor, but prior to today, we were not allowed to serve with integrity. And so you go through great lengths just trying to make sure that your private life over here is completely separate from your military life. It's about going to company picnics by yourself. It's about going to officers' call by yourself. It's about going to the colonel's house for Christmas or New Year's or the other by yourself. And it's also about not being able to display pictures in your office. And if you have pictures in your office, what you do as a camouflage, you get three or four people to take a picture with you, and you can display that, and you know, and maybe the other person knows who, you know, your partner is or the person that you are dating, they know that, but you can never say that. So what this day really means is that for so many people who have served and even those who are still serving, it means that now service is with honor. And now we can do it with integrity. I think that's huge. Mm-hmm. I think that's huge.
What are your thoughts, Dave?
Well, when I was in the Navy from 1982 to 1993, that was the very beginning of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I met my partner in the military back in 1993, mm-hmm. and we're still together. It's been 18 years.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. And I remember we were stationed in Hawaii, and a bunch of us enlisted people would want to go out and go out for drinks or go out and party and whatnot. And you'd walk down the street and you want to go into one of the bars, and you know it's a gay bar, and everybody else knows it's a gay bar. And as you're walking down the street, you had to look over your shoulder. Who was watching? Who else was there? I know the military, even in Hawaii, to a very great extent, actually had people stationed on certain corners taking pictures of other military members that were walking into bars. Mm-hmm. And then they develop the pictures, and then they come back after you. Today's repeal of that law says, I don't have to look over my shoulder anymore. I can walk into a bar. Into a gay bar if I want to. My straight friends that know I'm gay, they don't have to worry about saying, hey, how's your boyfriend or how's your partner? Even the people that have no problem with it, it still even put a hindrance on them. Because if they were found to be, quote unquote, in cahoots with you, then they're in trouble too. So it's a big fog lifted, not just off the gay, lesbian, and bisexual mm-hmm. community, but even to a large extent, the straight community yeah. that has encompassed the military. Mm-hmm. So it kind of helps everybody out all the way around.
Yeah. And I just want to say that I think that it's a misnomer, to say the least, and a bit of naivete that for people to say that they didn't want the law to be repealed because you don't want LGBT people in the military. The only way not to have gay people in the military is not to have a military. So, I mean, that's just a fact. So, I think all of the arguments that, you know, came up and said, you know, good order and discipline, and I mean, you can look at, you know, those of us who are in here today, we all served honorably, mm-hmm. and any time that we were asked to go someplace, we did it willingly. I mean, we were never derelict in our duties or anything of that nature, but to have to serve under that fog, and if I could couch it in these terms, it's almost I can imagine it was almost like that for a runaway slave.
Mm-hmm.
It was like you know, you're always looking and you're wondering who else knows. So
yeah, and there's been a lot of people have made the parallel with the gay rights movement being sort of the civil rights movement of our generation. A lot of what the government did to Black Americans has happened here again. And Pat, your father served in the military during that time, right?
In the Navy. He served mm-hmm. in the Navy, and he only served 4.5 years. And he got out because he said if he didn't, he was going to jail. And he would have gone to jail because he simply refused to allow people who were his subordinates to call him boy. And he refused to, you know, step aside. When you're on the ship, you know, have to step aside and basically, you know, bow your head. You know, if a white officer, a white enlisted person came by, and you always had to be subservient. And he said he just couldn't do it. He just could not do it. His manhood would not allow him to do it. So it's a lot of the arguments I heard the very same arguments when it came to ending discrimination. I also heard the very same arguments when it came to women being fully and totally assessed into the military. I was one of the first women who were branched into a combat support branch, and they didn't want me there first of all because I was African American, and they really didn't want me there because I was a woman. And so, you know, the thing for me was, you know, two of the three things that I am, I dare not tell you number three. I dare not tell you that. So anyway,
I really think it is the civil rights mm-hmm. issue of our time, and it's been great to be a part of that and working to end the ban on gays serving in the military. To me, it's just as clear as can be that it relates to the same things that we had in society, discriminating against African Americans, the same thing about women and their rights early on. So we've taken a great step forward today.
Even the same discussions that they had in regards to the repeal, which started back in January when they said they need to look into it, the discussions of do we need segregated barracks for gay people versus straight people, Do we put them in bunks or regular beds? Do we put them in private or semi-private rooms? Do we label their barracks different? Gee, if I remember correctly, those are the exact same comments that were made during the civil rights movements of the 60s. So it's the same game, just a different subject is being walked through. And just mm-hmm. like the 50s and the 60s, when they broke through that barrier, mm-hmm. today we broke through another barrier.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, when the discussions of Don't Ask, Don't Tell came up, it seemed like they were discussing it as a theoretical thing about what if gays are in the military? And obviously you were all proof that they have always been here. So in your experience, did the people around you know you were gay? Was it sort of accepted and just sort of, I mean, how much discrimination did you feel from a whole? There are obviously certain people who seek out people, but for the most part, do you think anyone was surprised when you guys came out or?
Well, from personal experience, my command, 99% of the people at my unit in Hawaii knew I was gay. They had no issues with it. They had no problems with it. Nothing was ever said. Once a comment was made by another individual where I supposedly told him that I was gay, it opened up a whole can of worms. It was really kind of weird that the people that I had workings with and dealings with on a day-to-day basis mm-hmm. had no issue with it. The only person that had an issue with my being gay was my commanding officer, who I'd seen maybe 3 times. And when I was brought up on charges, and it took 6 months for them to do their investigation and try to prosecute me and whatnot, number one, I had to know my rights. Nobody was going to tell me what my rights were. I had to look into all that ahead of time. But when it turned out that my case had to be dismissed, my CO stepped outside with me while I was outside smoking a cigarette, looked me dead in the face, pointed right in my eye and said, "Jenkins, I know you're gay. I will not allow in the military, and I got news for you. I will get rid of you." So it's the one person that was wielding all the power, who had the least amount of impact on me, that was the one making all the decisions. And that's one of the reasons that I was finally at the point where, after having 12 years in and knowing that the CO was gunning for me, mm-hmm. I had to make a decision. How am I going to get out of this and still save my butt, save my hide? Mm-hmm. So I was able to do that.
And James, you've said that the people in your office, you don't think they'll be surprised at all when you mention a boyfriend, or there's not going to be the roof falling.
I think it's going to be just fine. They would have to know. I mean, here I am. I'm 43 years old and a single male. So I think it's probably pretty clear to people. But we've all just played by the rules. Mm-hmm. They don't ask, and I don't tell, and we just all pretend the issue doesn't exist. So now, fortunately, that charade can end, and we can have open and frank conversations like we should be able to.
Yeah. And, you know, can I just comment on that? You know, mm-hmm. I'm listening to you say that, and how ironic, because as a woman in the military, it was expected that you would not date, that you would not get married, and that you would not have a family. And so if you dated, married, and had children, then your career was tenuous at best. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there was a certain double standard there, and then I'm listening to David say about how his CO said, "Well, I know you're gay, and I'm going to get rid of you." And I'm thinking, you know, at both ends of the spectrum here, this the hypocrisy mm-hmm. is tantamount to, gosh, I don't even know what to say. It because on one hand you criminalize someone for loving someone and being faithful to someone and honoring a commitment, while at the same time, and we talked about this, while at the same time encouraging men who are married or single who are overseas, you know, to sow your wild oats, you know, how many times are you going to be here? And so, I mean, you know, the whole thing was pompous and hypocritical. I just...
And mm-hmm. do you feel like there's a difference in the military towards accepting lesbians over gays? Is there a difference? I mean, does the stereotype of gays as effeminate, they couldn't be soldiers, matter, whereas people have the stereotype that lesbians are butch and they would be the sort of soldier types? Do you think there's any difference from what you guys have seen in your experience?
For me, I think they accepted gay men better than they accepted gay women. I do. And that's only because I think as a society, when you think gay, you automatically think male. It's automatically expected to be a male. Whereas when you think gay and you're talking about a female, you have to say gay female or lesbian. Whereas if you just use the word gay, the mindset is automatically to men. And that's why I think it was a little more accepted. Not that it was ever accepted in the first place, but it was a little bit more on the forefront of people's minds about it being men versus women. I think women had a very hard time in the military being stationed with the Marines for a large part of my time. I knew several lesbian Marines, WMs, as they're called, and it was very difficult for them. And they were knocked down, in my eyes, a lot more than men were, because in the military, you're expected to be a male. So a lesbian military member has to fight being a female plus a lesbian. And it's just, it just, it was very difficult. I know for several several lesbians that I knew, so that were Marines, it was very difficult. There was one couple that I know that they literally came into the barracks because they were both in the same room, and took one out of the barracks and moved her over to another unit on the other side of the island just to keep her away. And that to me was just going a little bit too far. But like I said, to me, just to be more it was more accepted as being a male and being gay versus a female and being gay.
And I guess my experience would be opposite of that, and I would attribute it to basically the societal concept, if you will, of what it means to be a male. And so for a man to exhibit effeminate ways, or even not, but just for a man not to be interested in a woman, somehow it seemed like people would, they felt that as a personal affront. And so they would tell gay jokes, and they would kind of laugh about, you know, lesbian women. But when they were talking about men, there was so much, it was charged with animus. It was just, I mean, it was almost like, if I could just get one, I'd kill him. And some people even said that. Some people have said that, you know, and it's difficult to be in a room full of people, you know, even at a staff meeting, and have somebody, you know, talk about someone in pejorative terms, and then everybody starts laughing and say, yeah, you know, we ought to just take them all out, you know, with our M16 with full clips and see who comes back alive. I mean, that sort of thing, you know. So it wasn't just that is a front to you emotionally. Letting someone know, or someone thinking that you were gay, could also cost you your life in very, very real terms. Very, very real terms. So
very much, especially. So when I retired, it was in 1993, which is just before "Don't Ask, Don't Tell" had kicked into play. And when that happened, the higher up military officials saw all the wheels in motion, knew what was going on, and there were witch hunts to go after them.
Exactly.
Before the actual law and rules went into effect. Dismantling the old rules and putting the don't ask, don't tell rules into play. There were many, many witch hunts. Myself and someone else that I knew, my ex at the time actually, he was an officer and I was enlisted. And between he and I, we knew 90% of the people in Hawaii that were gay, that were in the military. And I cannot begin to tell you the number of people that were kicked out because of the witch hunts that went on before the wheels of Don't Ask, Don't Tell itself went in.
And if you look at the numbers in terms of the number of people who were discharged under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, it's been going down steadily, which sort of might hint towards just of our society in general being more accepting of gays. So it's interesting to see how far, what life was like in the early 90s for you versus sort of the experience that James is having being an active duty soldier. And one question that I want to ask all three of you that I'm sure comes up a lot is, when each of you got into the military, either Don't Ask, Don't Tell was already in, or it was still understood that gay people were not allowed in the military. Why would you go into the military if you knew you were gay? And maybe we'll just start with you, Dave.
I went in simply because it's something that I wanted to do. I was proud to be an American. I was proud to be in the military, in my case, to be a sailor. The idea of my being gay and in the military never crossed my mind. It was I wanted to do something to serve my country, and not just that in the patriotic way, but in a way of it has structure, it has guidance, it has rules. It will give me benefits and stuff in the future. So the idea of being gay and being in the military was one thing. Being gay was in the back of my mind. That had nothing to do with any of my decision. That if I had sat back and said, well, gays aren't really allowed, maybe I should rethink this, that thought never even crossed my mind.
Until other people made it an issue.
Until the military made it the issue for me, exactly.
What about you, Pat?
Well, you know, I didn't really think about it consciously, but it was always in the back of my mind subconsciously. But I just figured, well, I've lived with this all of my life, and for me, both of my worlds, I had three worlds. There was the military world, where who I am is not accepted. There was also the religious world, which with who I am is not accepted. And then there was my own private world, in which I had total acceptance. So I didn't think about it in terms of I'm not going to do this because I'm gay. I want to serve my country. I loved the military. I wanted to do something to give back. But it was always this struggle with, you know, what I want to do for everyone else while knowing at the same time the same people that I was willing to put my life on the line for, had they known who I was, would not have even walked down the same side of the street with me.
Well,
that was always painful.
You know, that's a great question, and it's a tough one. For me, when I first came in the military back in 1986, 6 weeks out of high school, I didn't really know and understand that I was gay. I knew I had feelings that were different from other teenage boys, but I really didn't know what it was. And I too grew up in an environment that was fairly religious. And when I would have those thoughts as a teenager or a young man, I would put those thoughts aside because I was taught that that is sinful and, you know, you just don't do that. That's the wrong thing to do. So I just repressed those thoughts. And I never allowed myself the luxury to entertain the idea that I might be gay. Yeah.
Wow. And then when you came to the acceptance that you were gay, did it ever cross your mind to leave the military?
Yes, it did, because I knew what the rules were, and I knew that my life was not compatible with military service according to their rules. But I love the military. I love the Air Force. I love the job that I have. I love being a part of something bigger than me, like the military. I had so many opportunities to travel and live abroad. It was just too much to give up. And so I made the decision that I would fight from within to make positive change myself. And knowing that the end result was that I had to play the game,
You know, can I say something? You know, here's another layer, if you will, of that. When you are gay and in the military, you see someone that you're interested in, and they're obviously interested in you. And I don't know how you all saw it, but for me, the first question was, do you have as much to lose as I do? And if the person didn't have as much to lose or more than I did, I don't care what kind of chemistry was going on. I'm just not going down that road, because you don't want to wind up with a crazy that, you know, just takes your career down, you know, showing up and, you know. You have to have as much to lose as I do. Otherwise, there's nothing going on here. We can't even go to the movies together.
Yeah, because they could very easily get upset and go to your commanding officer or whoever and say, hey, I know that person is gay.
Yeah, and you give birthday cards, you just buy them in the store, put them in an envelope, and you don't write anything on them.
Right.
You don't write the name on the front. You don't write anything on the inside. You just say, hey, I got your birthday card. Now, how come you didn't sign? Are you out of your mind?
Exactly.
Signing nothing.
And Dave, you, when you were in the military, was dating another person who was in the military. But how was that? Was it just double the paranoia? I mean,
it was hard. Talk about my current partner. It was very difficult. I was stationed at one unit. He was in another, at another unit. And it made it real difficult if we wanted to call each other or whatnot. We had to make sure we didn't call each other too much, because then if somebody else answers the phone, it's like, why is this guy Dave calling, or why is this Petty Officer Jenkins calling this other guy over here, you know, four or five times a day? When I retired and moved out here, he was still in for another 6 months. And when I would send him cards or letters or whatnot, just like Pat was saying, I could only, on the care packages I would send, I could only write Jenkins, or not even put my name on it and just put an address on it. Because God forbid somebody else were to find out. And again, cards or letters, you didn't sign your name on it. You may put an X or an O on it, so without your name, but that was it. But then also the person receiving that is also lost too, mm-hmm. because the part of them that wants to connect with you, they know that they can't connect either. Mm-hmm. And it makes it real difficult when it's two military members, because now you have double the trouble. You know, your command plus his command, you know, your superiors plus their superiors, and God forbid that somebody should be that both sides is looking out to get rid of people, mm-hmm. then you're both in deep trouble. Mm-hmm. So it makes it very difficult if you're dating another person in the military. It makes it very hard.
Before today.
Before today. Good point, James, before today.
Yeah. Yeah, that is an important thing to note in terms of what it means.
And sometimes the paranoia, you know, extends not just if you're dating someone, but sometimes it extended to if I feel an attraction to this person and they feel one, and you start talking, in the back of your mind, you're always thinking, is this a setup?
Yep.
Is this a setup? I remember being in Korea, and I had just broken up with someone before I was stationed there, but I was like, don't call me. And someone I know that was working in a three-star general's office made a pass at me, and I was like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't go that way. Not at all. So, it's like you live your life, and all of it's a lie. And if you are a person of integrity, it just eats away at you.
Mm-hmm. It also hinders your own work ethics and rules, mm-hmm. because here you are trying to work and whatnot, and in the back of your mind, you're thinking about the other person mm-hmm. that you can't even discuss or mm-hmm. think about or do anything with. But now, like James said, until today, mm-hmm. now exactly. a lot of that, and I think it's going to open up the military's eyes all the way around. Not mm-hmm. this isn't just gay people in the military that mm-hmm. this affects. This is going to affect a lot more people. People are going to come out saying, I knew he was gay all along, mm-hmm. you know, or somebody that that you know, they know you, they're going to come out and say, hey, so how's your boyfriend? Mm-hmm. And you're going to be, what do you mean? Say, oh, please, you haven't been hiding it at all. We've known about it all along. Mm-hmm. You know? So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but it was wonderful. Thank you so much, Pastor Pat Spearman, Major James Combs, and Dave Jenkins for appearing on our show today. And
thank you.
Sharing some light on this important issue. You can read more about Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the current issue of Las Vegas Weekly, which is out right now, or you can go to lasvegasweekly.com and read about it there.